This is a Jeff Galloway podcast.
Welcome to 3-2-1 Go the podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish.
All right, Carissa, this is going to be a lot of fun because today we're diving into the musical world of Ox and Spoon with Jar, Jez, and Linz. Now, you may know them from their epic group costumes during a race. Maybe you know them from the race vlogs they do, or their impressively catchy Run Disney parody songs. I mean, they are a multimedia extravaganza.
Right? They're their own, like, whole collective.
They are.
Call them. I'm so good. It's so happy that we got to sit down with them because, truthfully, John, we only know them from the 35-second interview with Riley, the songs on YouTube, and then the finish. There's so much to know, including a Hallmark-style love story, a family bond, and occasionally, although not on this podcast, a guy in creepy clown makeup.
Thank God.
You know. There was no clown makeup on the podcast taping. They're iconic to Run Disney, and we're so excited to chat with them. Also, in Healthier You, we're going to talk about the new wave of weight loss drugs and the safety of using those long-term. Thank you to our supporters. Please say hi to us at Marathon Weekend. If you love the pod, consider being a supporter. And remember, Healthier You enrollment is happening right now. Let's do this.
All right, we are so happy to have Ox and Spoon with us. Now, as opposed to just calling you Ox and Spoon throughout this entire interview, which would be odd and in many ways compelling, let's do it this way. Introduce yourselves individually by name and let us know how you are and where you currently are.
So that's a funny question there. Introduce everyone individually. I am Jar Oxenspoon. That's how the Run Disney world knows me. I guess over time, Oxenspoon has become more than just me and the group. It's like, we are Groot.
The collective. So, you're a collective.
It is. You're the collective. You're the board.
It's all the announcers doing. It's Riley calling the Oxenspoon collective. I remember one time during a 5K, I believe it was a springtime surprise 5K. Carissa, you were saying, here's Ox and Spoon crossing the finish line. And I hadn't crossed it, but I can hear you guys. I'm right here.
So. That's what we're here to. We got to figure all that out also.
So yeah, Riley refers to us as the Ox and Spoon Collective. We're referred to as the Slackers also. So there are a couple names we collectively go by. But individually, I am Jar, and I am currently... You want to know where we are right
of
now,
course.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Address would be great. Drop a pin for people.
Oh, yes. Drop, yeah, locate me right here.
But I don't know what drop a pin means, so I should probably explain that.
I don't know how to do it either.
I do know what it means. I don't know how to do it.
Well, if I dropped a pin, it would be in Texas.
Oh, all right.
It's very, very mysterious. It's a large state, John.
Yes, yes.
Somewhere in Texas.
Are we not allowed to say what city?
Oh, we're in the state.
It's the storybook capital of America. That is what our city is known as. We are in the same city, in Texas, and so we are literally yards away from each other right now, literal yards. But yeah, we live in it's a city named Abilene, one of two in the state, but known as the storybook capital of America.
I did not know that about you? Abilene.
Yeah,
what do we call you, sibling?
Oh, we call me, hello. I'm known as Jez or sibling on the channel, but Jezeray is my long name.
And you and Jared are siblings.
Correct. That's okay. Why I'm sibling. Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes, yes. Jar is the ringleader, also known as the king occasionally. He has many names.
He who has many names. I like that.
Most of which he has not chosen for himself. So to be clear, he did not name himself king, just to give you a little.
You're not allowed to give yourself a nickname. With this, I'm going to jump back to all the way back to, well, now I was in high school and, you know, people get nicknames and stuff, and generally they're not the ones you want. Mine was always a take on my name, Pukey, Plecky, whatever. John Boy, because it was the Waltons era and everything. But anyone out there who has given themselves a nickname, we will shun, push away. You're not allowed to do that. Someone else has to do it for you.
It's like saying that you're a trustworthy person. Like people have to say that about you. You can't be like, well, I'm so trustworthy. It's like, how do I know that?
You know who I trust? Me. You know who I would trust? Money? Me.
No, why? Let me show you. I am Lindsay. I am here literal feet away from Jar in our shared abode.
But I was concerned for a minute. I was like, I have questions about you guys together and I'm not sure. Awkward.
I am in his game room. I talk really loud, so it's not good for us to be anywhere where there aren't doors when it comes to microphones. I'm Lindsay. I go by Linz Reed on the internet, and I am in Abilene, and not and truly yards away. Jez lives like five houses down from us.
Something like that.
Yeah. We're working on trying to figure out a Christmas light display that can like stretch between yes. houses, but that'll be a next year plan.
Think Osborne lights.
This comment is for Carissa alone. So you guys, if you check it, Christmas is over. It's over.
But do you know what it says? It says we can leave the Christmas lights up till January.
Thank you. She'll play Christmas music in February.
John, we are in the midst of trying to take down our Christmas stuff, but the trees will be up because that's just too much of a task, but we're going to rebrand them.
I allow it through this weekend, all right? These are my rules. And listen, I'm trustworthy and understand the rules. I will allow it through this weekend.
All right, so we are here.
Like when Disney has their lights down, then I will take my lights down maybe, but that's if Disney says it's still Christmas, then how is it not Christmas?
Well, always remember that they do that so people will pay to get in. So, you know, maybe if people are paying to get in, keep your lights up as long as you
can.
I'm all for that.
All right, we've got Lindsay, we got Jez, we got Jar, and you guys are Oxen Spoon. Now, I know underscoring all of this, there is a love story that we're going to unfold, but I don't linearly, you know, I had a lot of thoughts when starting this episode. We're just going to start with Jar, Oxen Spoon, because Googling and your first video I see, and you might have done some editing or maybe I Googled it properly, is the 2018 Star Wars Dark Side 5K video.
Bingo.
Okay. And I just also want to clarify to anybody out there that goes to listen to it, John, the start of the race is not 3-2-1 go also, which we know.
That's you
and
right.
And this is okay. It's okay. No, Lindsay, it's okay.
What was it?
Yes, there was another announcer, and thus when he left, we couldn't do what he did. We didn't want to. It's really taxing on the voice. So it was a terrible choice by him.
Yeah.
So
wow, taking care of family business already. All right, boy, the holidays get you get snarky after the holidays.
Yeah,
don't you?
I do. I'm sad. When you commit to a start, you have to say, "Can I do this 30 times?" 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is not a 3-2-1 go. It's the prior start, but you are nodding your head. You are, yes, that is correct. That was correct. Your first video. Why?
I've got into Run Disney by watching some of these YouTube videos. And I thought, you know, I could give a shot at this too. Like my background is video and editing. So got myself a GoPro and a gimbal, and here we are. I don't know how many Run Disney races I've filmed later, but 60 some later. So yeah, pretty much how it started. And then it like evolved into park vlogs, cruise vlogs, songs, all kinds of things now. So don't want to pigeon my hole into just running. So
let me just step back a second before we jump into that. What about your backgrounds, like running races, Oxen Spoon notwithstanding, just as an athlete out there? Hey, I'm gonna do 5K, you're gonna do a 10K. How, you know, because that's kind of, you know, one of the really more interesting ones for us. Not that it's not interesting you're doing videos, that's amazing, but how did you even get involved doing this thing? Because as we often say on this, even professional athletes have said, running is generally seen as a punishment when we're younger. You didn't do something right at a practice, you had to run. How did you get involved in all of that before you got to this?
I think maybe like in 2016 or so, started like treadmill running just for the old fitness.
Oh my God, then, what did you do wrong? Good Lord. I have a treadmill right next to me and my clothes are hanging on it. Like,
there
it's
are a lot of
to
donuts
be.
Here. We have to like, and we love some donuts. Is it, you need it's Texas. You need to counteract that a little bit.
Yeah. So after a couple Disney trips and no upcoming Disney trip, I don't remember where I saw it from, but hearing about Run Disney, looked that up and watched a video. I was like, that looks like a lot of fun. Do I run outside? No, not really. So I looked up the races and I was like, which one could I do next? Is it Tinkerbell? Is it Disneyland? So we decided to do the Disneyland half in 2017. And And we're like, oh, let's knock out a coast to coast right now too. So we did Wine and Dine after that. So January 1st, 2017, I set out to start training outside. And then Jez was like, okay, if you're going to do this, you're going to do this right. So we started on our first outdoor training run, January 1st, 2017, and then doing all these Run Disney races. I think I've done the Dopey 5K will be my 69th Run Disney race. So
wow,
got a lot between then and now.
And more importantly, you stuck to a New Year's resolution.
Oh, I guess I did.
I'm clapping.
Look at that.
I'm clapping. Because every other video now, because the AI knows me, every other video is how you can stick to them, because I rarely do. So I'm golf clapping in your general direction. Well done out of you guys.
All right. So Jason comes to you and he's like, we're going to start running. We're doing this. Are you just immediately like, yes? And who's older, by the way? This might help understand this dynamic.
Yes.
You're older.
Yes. Yeah,
so
he's
he tells
older.
You you're running and you're just like, yes, brother.
And I was like, we had gone back to Disney a few times. And so we're like, yeah, this looks fun. I'm usually game for nearly anything. I'm like, sure, let's do this within reason. Cause I am usually the voice of reason. And I remember, and he reminds me that I told him, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. Which that kind of degraded over time. But, I think he convinced me with like the trips to Disney. And I was like, well, you know, I kind of get bored sometimes in life. I didn't really have anything going on at that time. So sure, let's throw on training for a half marathon, even though I had never run a race, like any long distance race in my life. Neither had he. And the first race that we ran, we signed up for, was for Proof of Time. And it was a half marathon in April. So couch to half marathon, not advised to it. Also, the fact that we were able to register for both the Disneyland half marathon weekend and Wine and Dine like in January or something like that is wild. But I was just like, sure, let's do this.
There you go. So you guys, did you find that you liked the running? Was it a positive thing, or it was more just like, oh, well, I said I need content now.
To this day, I am the one that's known to be like, this is dumb. Like, why don't we have a better hobby? Like, why can't we choose something that's like less taxing, doesn't hurt so much? Like, we
it's
can enjoy
cheap,
each other.
Hobby.
No, I literally said to my husband yesterday, I was like, whoever said running is cheap and easy is a liar. Nice. Like, just sit on a throne of lies, because it's, this is, and we've chosen the most expensive way to do it, but you know what? It's super fun to have our friends in our community, and I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Yeah.
All right.
And we run it together.
Yeah. So you running, they're running in 2017.
Oh yeah.
Three before I read, you know,
So I actually, similarly to the siblings, I started running because of Run Disney. So I wasn't living in the storybook capital of America at the time. I was living in the storybook capital of California, Oakland, California. I've just decided it's the storybook capital of California. I'm a lifelong Californian, grew up in San Diego, then moved to the Bay Area. But because of that, I went to Disneyland like many times a year, AP and everything, because it was like an hour flight. So I had friends at the time. Well, they're still my friends. I had friends who did the Run Disney races. And so there was one, I think it was 2015. I went to Disneyland with them because they were running and they were doing the Dumbo Double Dare. And they said, you should come spectate us. And I was like, you know, fake smile, like, what an awful thing to ask a friend to wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Cause they're fast, like 45 minute 10K fast people. So I had to wake up early just to watch them go like, but what happened is especially the half marathon, I went down, I had a smile on, but I was grumpy in my heart. And I watched all these runners.
You've just described 77% of park workers on the days that you're in the park. That just
smile on the face, grumpy in the heart.
Absolutely.
I would say solid 5 times out of 10. That's what's happening in this whole situation. I'd never seen that, like, just regard for your fellow humans in a totally generous way, the way people support each other when they're spectating a race. I'd never seen runners who look like me with the little, you know, my sweet little body is very round and wonderful, but I've never seen runners who look like me. And I was like, oh, look, and they're having fun. So I signed up, and this part is so fun. Like, I don't know if y'all ever watched the best show on TV, Lost, but like our lives were having these like Lost intersecting moments for literal years before I met Jar and then met Jez. So I signed up for the 2016 10K in Disneyland, started training. So I have epilepsy and I had been seizure free for like 7.5 years. And literally in the middle of my training cycle, my seizures came back and they came back yucky. They're not fun. I'm glad I don't have them anymore because I had neurosurgery. So they're over now. But even in the midst of that, when my seizures came back, running went from being this like fun thing I wanted to do to go to Disneyland and like participate in this fun thing I saw. And then when like, you know, I lost control over my body, running became this thing that made me feel like my body was still my own. So I kept doing it and then did the 2016 Disneyland 10K. And here we are. I think the marathon is going to be my 66th run Disney race.
Well, you guys are so close together. That's interesting too.
I know.
Fun. It's very close. All right. This is, I'm going to intro kind of shove in the segue there because we've set the stage where like you, Lindsay, you're in California. Jar is down here in the storybook capital of the entire Milky Way galaxy. And somehow.
Doing a lot of work there. There.
Galaxy. Abilene, better up that.
Well done, Abilene, heart of Bergen City. Yeah,
really push for Abilene. So you guys come together. I know the story only from being in the same article with you about Red Muff stories, I think 2 years ago. So Lindsay, I'll let you start and tell us your love story and then we'll go back to the collective.
I think it makes sense that I start because I was the one who slid into the DMs. So like, I was the one who started it. So this was 2019. So by that point I had been doing, I hadn't done marathon weekend yet, but I'd done pretty much every race weekend. And so I, you know, after a race weekend, you get the Run Disney blues, right? Like you go home and you're like, oh, I miss Run Disney summer camp. And so I also watched vloggers. Like I watched our friend Kimberly and Rez Runs, like the, as Jared calls him, the godfather of Run Disney vlogs and Joyful Miles. So I used to watch all these vlogs and just go on YouTube. So one, I still remember it was after Thanksgiving weekend. I was sitting in my parents' house and my dad and I had run the 5K at Wine and Dine together. And I was like, Dad, people record these races. Let's see if we can find you running the 5K. And so I just Googled Wine and Dine 5K and this little channel called Jar Oxenspoon popped on. And we watched the video and I'm like, wow, this guy's funny. And he also doesn't take running too seriously. He's kind of laughing at himself the whole time. And then I watched more videos and more videos. I'm like, this guy and his friends are like hysterical. So I think I commented on one of his videos and then we found each other on Instagram and then there were DMs and then we started writing every day. And then we ended up meeting in person at the 2020 marathon weekend. And so we had this like, we didn't call it a first date, but we had this like 8-hour first date, just the two of us in the parks that Jared actually filmed. We have like our first date on the internet before we knew it was a date. And we were married 9 months later.
All right, Jar, do you agree with that story? Is that an accurate representation of your relationship?
That is accurate.
Okay.
The thing that impressed me most was her knowledge of Disney dining. Which I was like, I think she knows as much as I do or even more. So I think one of my comments in DMs was, it would be a travesty if we didn't share a meal together during the 2020 marathon weekend. So we did. And then I think you ate with us or right with you like every day that trip.
Yeah. He met my parents. Like he, I think it was the third, it was after the 10, no, after the 5K?
5K.
After the 5K. I did not run that. I only ran the, I did. I ran the 5K and the marathon that year. He texted me and was like, hey, do you want to have lunch at the Riviera? And I was like, oh, my parents are here. I'm having lunch with them. Do you want to join us? And poor guy was totally stuck at that point because he's made it known he's free. And it's like, what do you do? suddenly I have some medical crisis. So he actually came to lunch with my parents on like day three.
Wow.
And they loved him. And my mom always used to call him iconic. And yeah, the rest
And the rest is history. So, but you got, you know, a similar when Weston and I, we knew each other for years. And then we started dating, he was in California and I was in Florida. So I identified your situation. And we have stories of like meeting at Run Disney stuff, or like 1 year I tried to like have him put on my bow and he like refused because he didn't want his hair to look bad. And I was trying to flirt with him. And I was like, God, this guy won't even put my bow on his head. Like, like where am I date? Remember when I wore the same Daisy bow for 5 years, John?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so yep. We have very similar stories, but it's hard to make the decision for one of you to move and to kind of like to get far enough along where you're like, all right, well, now we're in and there. But that love for Run Disney, it's a bond.
It really is. And I look through his videos frequently to see if I can find that lost moment of like somewhere on the other side of the corral, I'm standing there and we didn't know it, but I haven't found it. Yeah,
we have that one story that I always tell wrong, but John, remember the people met in the corral?
Yep.
He gave her the phone number, but she genuinely lost it. And then they met years later again. And she was like, no, I really lost your phone number. And then they ended up getting married 1 year.
Oh.
I'm about 37% sure that that's a Lifetime movie that you saw. And you're now confusing it with a Run Disney story.
Travis Kelce's mom was in it. So
that's right. And you were with your BFF, Brittany. Anyway. All right. I'm kind of buried the lead on this, actually, because I think everybody would like to know, what in the hell does Ox and Spoon mean, and how did that part come about?
Yeah, I just wrote that down. I was just typing that. Like, I don't know what.
Well, you know, and in fact, I wrote some notes, and that was one of the, because I think we've been told before. I think Riley, when he was interviewing the collective, maybe asked that question. But I'm a 60-year-old man. I can't even
and
remember.
Sometimes we're not listening when you.
That's a good point. We're so infrequently listening.
Sometimes
to what's
people
happening.
Just not. We're having a conversation about something else or about Riley. Riley's performance generally off.
Right. We are grading Riley's performance. So Ox and Spoon, how did the name come about?
Well, Ox and Spoon is something I used as a username for a while, but like where that came from, I was 15 years old and was in a band and wrote a song entitled Ox and Spoon. And it was the first song that I wrote that was publicly performed. So it's not anywhere on the internet. Well, for anyone to hear.
I wish.
But there is, at the beginning of most videos, there is a slight nod to it at the beginning, just when the logo comes up. So that's what it is, a teenager's song that he wrote.
Was it an homage to Who bassist John Entwistle, all otherwise known as the Ox? That's my question.
It was probably not that deep.
Okay. All right. That actually would have been pretty cool. Well, by the way, should throw this out there because I'm always looking for work. Worst bass player in Orlando, played in a blues band for a while. So if you need somebody to lay down a really questionable groove, I would be your guy. So is our director Mark Ferrari. If you need sort of a double bass, need to do a Spinal Tap thing, which by the way, feel free to run with that idea. We're your guys. I'll play the double neck bass. I am in.
Amazing.
All right, so now let's jump back because we're talking about the music. The ideas for the songs, I know this is like, you know, asking Lennon and McCartney, who comes first, words or music? The ideas for the song, that's the question they always ask any songwriter. And if, you know, if you're like me,
but there was a transition, like there were videos, there were vlogs, they were like, you know, we're short in the beginning, I'm running, you know, we're pretty, I don't want to say textbook, but we're vlogging. And then all of a sudden there's very creative, well done, like lots of effort went into songs. It's a big shift. And we need to understand.
How does it come about? It seems very effortful. And if you know my motto, effort is overrated, frankly.
Very luck, much so.
Luck is much better. Rather be lucky than effortful. But where did they come from? Because they are really, really creative and fun.
The first one I did was the end of 2019, just kind of recapping that year, looking forward to 2020. Then there was a year gap. And then that's when I started the Yuletide with Ox and Spoon. I think we just wrapped up our fourth year. Yeah, fourth year. So there's like, 15 or so Christmas parodies out there. And I believe our first song that wasn't a Christmas song parody was commissioned by Carissa because he wanted a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, always.
We did Take It Off about the Mylar. So
that's going to need a lot of replete.
Yes.
Yeah, what's today? Oh, today, like, if we do one for a marathon weekend, we got to do it quick. but it could be, have a similar theme to that. But that's pretty much how it started. It seems like people like it, and we have fun just kind of being tongue in cheek sometimes with some of the Run Disney news stories out there and what people will kind of resonate with.
We really like Christmas. We also are we're musicians. I mean, Jared talked about how he wrote a song when he was 15, and we've been in bands and things like that. And so just, it felt natural for us. I don't know. When did you get that idea to just like do the Yuletide? Now I've become the interviewer.
No, great. No, feel
free.
You know,
I just remember coming home from work one day and Jared being like having like a weird Santa head and holding a ukulele and being like, here are some jingle bells. We're going to sing this song. Okay. I am, by the way, I am not the talent. I am the tell me what instrument to halfway play and you can edit it in post person. And they write the songs. There are shared notes for the songs that I don't believe I am on. I offered some contributions here and there, but I think I got left off the notes after. They're both so polite. I'll be like, how about you write this? And they go, uh-huh.
All of a sudden, I feel like Chris and I are Yoko Ono, and we're about to break up the band. Because now I
recognize my skill set, and my skill set is smiling happily in the back, shaking jingle bells as fast as I can. But I do remember coming home from work one day and being like, all right, this is what you want to do, Mr. Spoon. Let's do it.
Well, and to be fair, like Jar does most of the backtracking, especially the ones with a lot of instrumentation, like for the most part, if he's doing that himself so that we don't hit any copyright issues and things like that on YouTube. But if you see us like playing a thing on the video, then that's the feed from the thing. So Lynn's is a fantastic drum pad drummer. She just won't give herself that credit. Her drummist. She's a drummist. So if you see us like playing a thing, for the most part, there are the silly ones like the SNL one that we are not actually playing it there. But we are playing those instruments.
For the most part.
What is the time commitment like here, darling? Like you get an idea. What's the, you know, inception to delivery timeline? And are you really shouldering most of the work yourself with the production aspect? Because that's I think John and I do this podcast. We go away. We never think about it again.
Right.
Production is the challenge, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of different places I've edited things. Like the very first one we did, I remember filmed that on my phone and was editing it, waiting for our table at a Mexican restaurant one early December in 2020, I guess. And the first one from this season, the rock one, the
Comfort Destroyed.
Yeah, Get Rest to You Weary Dopey Ears. Mm-hmm. I was like doing the drum track on the plane and even like writing it in the airport on the way back from Thanksgiving. So I try to find any time to do it. Sometimes we're in the car and I ask Lynn's to, can we have silent so I can write?
Is that her
silent, but like radio silence, like completely silent.
Yeah.
Silent environment to write stuff. But
just have so many good things to say.
Yeah. There was one time we were supposed to do like a 15 mile run. And I was like, I'm going to stop at 8, guys. I'm going to go write this song. So whenever we were done, they were done running. I'm like, let's record this song.
That might be the real reason these songs started happening, is Jar just wanted a way to get out of dopey training.
I certainly respect that. Well, Jar, let me ask you this question. When you're coming up with an idea and you're starting to put the music together and everything, do you lay down some tracks so everybody can hear it to give them an idea? How do you teach it, the song to everybody? How does that part work? Because I know, you know, that's one of the difficult things as a musician, bringing something in and trying to teach it to be, or is it more collaborative? How does that work?
No. no to all of that, John. No. I typically get maybe the day of or the day before we record the lyrics, if I'm having to sing on it. They're songs that are in the zeitgeist. We should know them. If not, you find a recording that you know and you listen to the melody. There are times where I'm like, I'll call him and say, like, how do you want this line to go? Because it's not fitting in my brain the way it should fit as a parody in with the lyrics. And then we go to their house. I go to their house dressed in whatever strange Christmas garb, sometimes walking down the street in like full weird Christmas costume to their house. And then it's like, how do you want me to play this? He will give us notes if it's not the way he wants it done. There have been times Take It Off was rough because we tried it one way. We tried it with one instrumentation. We were like, this is not working. This sounds awful. We cannot put this on the internet. And we had to switch around. So we try to film and record the majority of them at the same time. So we're like, we've got the camera here and then somebody's like right next to the computer. It's really actually pretty comical where he's sitting right now. And we'll record it and then try it again and then record it and try it again and see which one until we're happy with it. But not for the rest of us, not much preparation is involved. It's really wing it. And let's see how many times we need to play this before it sounds decent and it's okay to be on the internet for the world to see.
I like it. It's spontaneous that way. It's got a better spontaneous energy than if you Pink Floyd the thing and take 2 years to record it. Then you probably lose a little bit of this. And I one final question about the recording process and all that I'm putting together. Because full disclosure, as a kid, we used to do parody songs all the time. My proudest is I had a friend who had a New Year's Eve party and kicked everybody out at 11:30. So we did a parody song called "Get Out of My House" to the tune of "Get Off of My Cloud" by the Rolling Stones. somewhere there's a recording of it, and when all of the Stones die, which as we know with Keith Richards will never happen, I will release it so that I'm not sued. But Jar, on average, how long does it take, you know, from when you record to edit and all of that to put a video together? What's the kind of man hours? And I know that's probably impossible to answer, but give us an idea of how much time goes into one of the videos.
It depends on if it's a live one. If it's a live simple song, kind of maybe like the Green Day one we did earlier this year, that was fairly simple. If it's something where I have to create backing tracks and lip syncing to it, that may be a little more. It's probably easier on the filming side, but then I also have to lip sync, and I'm not the best lip syncer, as you can tell from some of the videos. But
you would have been a perfect 70s rock star there. Just Google, look at all the crappy lip syncing we had to put up with on the Merv Griffin show and the Mike Douglas show back in the 70s, for God's sake.
But usually I don't start these in enough time. So like the Yuletides usually came out on Wednesday. So I am like, we're recording on Saturday or Sunday, sometimes Monday, and then I just have to edit the audio and then edit the video, put all the words on it, and hopefully it's accepted by the internet.
Well, we enjoy it. I always get excited when I go on IG and there's like a new song and I got to see what it's about and I got to listen to it. I do just want to let you guys know, John is an actual very good singer. So if there could be a time, John, would you be willing to lend your voice? He does sing. He can sing. He's very modest, but he's a very good singer. You could maybe lend your voice, John.
I'd like to say I'm a fabulous singer. For what we talked about before, I can be trusted, and I am a fabulous singer. I would absolutely, sure, absolutely. That was my goal. My goal in life was to be a musical theater performer. And I, what's the thing that I lacked? Hold on, let me think about it. Talent. So that never happened for actually, anytime that would be a lot of fun. And if you could release the B side of Get Out of My House, cause I think maybe the Stones would leave us alone if I did.
All right. Last question before we pivot to costumes, I want to know individually the song that you are most proud of, or is your favorite. Jar, we'll start with you.
Oh man.
Okay, fine. Yes.
Which is your favorite child? Point out your favorite child.
I always say very facetiously, Walter, did you know? it's the one we would like to keep buried. It's just so weird.
Ben's, you get to go next. Well, we let
someone asked me this recently, and I think my new, so I have two categories. See, I'm already like taking the reins, but like, I have songs that I like that Jez leads and songs that Jared leads. I think my new favorite that Jared leads is God Rest Ye Weary Dope Beers. I love his rock voice. I think his rock voice is really fun. And then I think Jez's favorite is Dopey Christmas List, which was, what we were talking about, how our Dopey Christmas List was to spend time with you all. And here we are. So yeah, those are my two. Jared, your turn.
maybe
he's frozen.
I'm like, are you frozen?
No, he's internally frozen.
Oh, yeah. Maybe our most popular one was the Run Walk Disney Miles, the Proclaimers song. No, that's probably it. That when we released that one, I was like, I don't know if people like this. And then it's like far and away the biggest one we've done.
Yeah. Jar, don't force them. Just say what all of you just say. We have my favorite one's the next one. That's my favorite one is the next one. That's that for creatives. That's the good answer. All right. So let's pivot to the thing that you do that's a little more traditional for Run Disney, and that is costuming. Because most people spend more time costuming than training for our races. So correct. Let's go through that. The costumes, how did that evolve? Is that just a natural outgrowth of you're running Disney races at this point and people look at you strangely if you're not in a costume?
True.
That's correct. Like if you do look back at that 2018 Dark Side 5K video, I'm probably wearing like a cotton shirt and shorts.
I was just thinking, I hope you're not wearing the race shirt because I have to go back and look and mock you.
Oh, no. I think my friend race Justin probably was.
I guess this is controversial. I am anti-race shirt on race day.
That's me too.
You got to finish the race to wear the shirt.
Exactly. Thanks. I'm superstitious. I'm like, I'm gonna be swept if I wear this shirt during, and I have been swept, but I wasn't wearing the shirt. But yeah, it's still, I have that deeply seated.
Okay, so we got that out. You didn't wear the race shirt, but then it's like from day one to now, we've made a big progression.
Yeah, there's a big difference between that. Like those earlier videos, I'm in Corral A sometimes, and like starting with like no one in my finish line pictures, and now there's like the balloon ladies in my finish line pictures. So yeah, I guess like as the group has expanded, we've gotten more tools to do like some dumb costumes. And getting people involved, just like you guys were involved in the end of the Wine and Dine 10K. Should have had the microphone closer to you, Pelkey, for Defying Gravity. I saw you singing along. So it's fun.
A little
to
out
have.
Of my range. A little out of my range. Let me just say it. Taking the low harmonies on that one. Definitely.
It's fun to have a group of people that are willing to do costumes, like just random ideas. Cause we kind of go off the theme because like if it's the Tower of Terror 10 miler, there were thousands of bellhops. So that's not a good example because our costume was like for that one. But yeah, for this past Wine and Dine, like doing Wizard of Oz, I don't even remember what the medal was. Was it Tiana? I think
it was Tiana.
Please don't ask us.
Oh God.
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
We know what the medals are next week because it hasn't changed in 25 years. So they do. Okay. I mean, it has changed. We've added characters. And there was Oswald one year. So you're right. Maybe I don't know.
Oh, I did love Oswald. I think for our ideas, like we kind of throw ideas out there. We were looking at what's happening in the world. And then what makes a good group costume? Like, are there things that people, like everybody can have a little part? Is it something that most people would get? Because there are times where we have done something and it's like, I don't think people are going to understand what we're dressed like. So maybe we need to rethink this. So, but we just like to see whoever wants to join us with our friends and like shoot them out an idea and say, hey, we're going to try doing this. Or our friends, Mayor Wares and the legendary Bill Stewart are very good at like saying, hey, well, I found this on Amazon and you can just put this with this. And now you're a insert cool character here. So we just very creative people around us that think of fun ideas that we think that everybody else will get. Cause like, it's fun to be in a costume that you understand. It's really fun to be in a costume that other people understand.
Right.
We are always aiming to get you to that next finish line. And we've created an exciting opportunity for you guys coming up with Galloway Customized Training. Check the show notes for more information on how to sign up. And here's Chris with a little more about Customized.
Hi, I'm Chris Twiggs, Chief Training Officer at Galloway Training Programs and coach of Galloway Customized Training. When Jeff Galloway and I put together Customized Training, our goal was to offer the best value in professional coaching for runners and walkers. Starting from a questionnaire to determine your current fitness, goals, and commitments to family and work, I build a schedule that's perfect for you, but it doesn't end there. Each week with your feedback, I adjust your plan to help you reach your goals, and I introduce you to a worldwide family of customized runners and walkers who are cheering you on. I look forward to working with you and to being your coach and your biggest fan as we run, walk, run with Galloway Customized Training.
So how, so we've got, you know, we've got Jez and Jar, and then we add in Linz. Now, when did costuming like grow? Like, when did this group go? Is there an application process? Like, how did the group become this large? Because we, you know, honestly, I feel a little bad, John, because I don't know when we are recollection of like, oh, this is Oxen Spoon for us, like began. And it is thanks to Riley, because we get to meet a lot of people that way,
right.
And we get to know them. But like, how did that evolution occur?
It's all of the people who have expanded that become part of our merry band of costumers. And by the way, anyone is welcome. We love random people who come up to us and ask, or like literally DM us and are like, can we join your costume? Absolutely. I always say we could be your starter run Disney friends. If you don't know anyone, we could be your starter pack until you find people you like more and who sing less and are less jolly. But everyone you see in the group costumes are people who watched the channel on YouTube. Every person. The only people who knew each other prior to the channel are Jez and Jar, and sometimes our friend Justin, who has kind of semi-retired from Run Disney, but he lives here in Abilene too. So all of those over time, the more that people have gotten to see our antics and realize that we're just people who want to finish maybe and also have fun. Actually, Carissa, you put it in, like, you finally put words around what we try to do. You commented on one of Jar's posts. It's like theater on a race course. And I was like, that is exactly what we're doing. Like, when we think of costumes, it's like, what's something that like we can perform out on the 10K, like Willy Wonka, let's all dress up like Oompa Loompas and sing the song, or Wizard of Oz, or like what can be. One of my favorite things to do during the shorter races is we like to stop at some point and spectate and like cheer on all the runners. So what's a fun costume we could wear to cheer on the runners? We could have baseball bats and make a little arch for them to run through. Some runners do not find that as gleeful as we do, but we try not to disturb them too much. But yeah, I think that's like the what can be theater on a race course. And then I always say our brand is unattractive. Like what's the
least, 100%.
What's the least attractive outfit for me to wear? What's going to make me look the most like a 90-year-old man? And like, why don't I wear these men's baseball pants, which were not made to accentuate the beautiful parts of my gorgeous, strong little body? Like, just unattractive. That's our brand.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, it's funny because, in the several years now that you've been doing it, you know, you've been the collective, Riley tries to get you every race. You got some copycat groups out there. I'm going to just tell you, you have inspired some other people, because we are seeing more and more, Carissa, correct me if I'm wrong, we're seeing more and more group costume runners than we did, you know, back again when 2015, 2016, back then. But let's, we want to give everybody due time, because you mentioned the legendary Bill Stewart. I will remind Bill that when people have called me legendary, they've reminded me that generally means old. Anybody else? In maybe the core crew that people are going to see every weekend that you want to shout out to.
I would shout out our friend Ryan Teets, who's an unofficial Run Disney weatherman. He's often running with us. Many people surrender their rightful Corral A placement for the shorter races to come run in the back. And then, of course, Meredith, she's the one who designs any of the costumes that are attractive. Those are the ones that our friend Meredith designed.
Yeah, bedazzled in any way, that's Meredith with the glue gun the night before the race.
We will not make her, she does not take credit for the ones where we look horribly unattractive. That's not her. But the nice ones, like usually the sports teams, that's Meredith.
That's so cute.
And then our friend that I'm thinking about the group text, our other friend, Matt Kunkel, runs with us, and he's probably the reason there's a no inflatable rule now on the course, that he got hey friended for wearing a Donkey Kong costume on a motorcycle, and which was fine. That's we love to obey the rules here in Slacker Nation. But those are, anyone else that I missed, y'all?
Well, you'll find out. It's like an acceptance speech for an academy. Yeah. Never forget who you've forgotten in that moment.
Yes.
Creepy Ronald.
Creepy Ronald.
What can you like wink at me? Am I going to see any? Does he have any face paint coming up recently this year that I should be aware of?
I'm winking both eyes.
No.
We actually don't know his plans either. Like, we know some of them, but we don't know the full extent of his plans. We don't know how much white face paint he has purchased. And we will occasionally get text messages. I just had a birthday, and it was him in his full Ronald makeup singing happy birthday to me from his house. Like, we just occasionally get it too. It's lovely. It's just so funny.
That is
He's
amazing.
he one of the greatest things about Bill is that he's just the merriest guy, sincerely. Whether or not he's dressed like a scary clown, he's just the merriest guy. And so we'll be like, "Hey, Bill, here's a ridiculous idea. Would you be willing to commit to this?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then his wife is like texting pictures of him. Yeah, he's incredible.
And he
I wish that
commits.
there was more time to highlight, like, I wish when Run Disney before the race, people could send videos of them prepping, like Mike Maselli testing his face, like Bill doing all this stuff. Like, we should be able to play these videos of, like, here's what you guys were doing last month, like to show the effort. It's just such a unique thing that John and I have seen Run Disney completely transition to from a wonderful thing to like such a fun, joyful thing that adults get to do that is also like at some level good for your body.
For your
And the
body.
level of creativity, no, back in the beginning, and we predate Run Disney. That's how legendary we are. And it we did see costumes, but Carissa, it was the average that you'd see a Peter Pan, you running with a Tinkerbell, you'd see, and it's just now morphed. And again, I think a lot of when you guys really started going to the nth degree with it, we started seeing other people who just, again, as I've said, and I say it as a joke, but it's really not untrue, spend a lot more time on the creativity of their costumes than they do their training. And I think it's a tribute to the whole community. And as you said, bringing a great energy and a very, very it's such a supportive thing for such an individual sport.
Well, and one of the things that like you don't see, we don't talk about it very much like on the channel or so when we do a group costume, and like I said, many people surrender their rightful corral placements because usually now it's Jar and I, but usually I always have the very last corral. This is my gratitude for this group. So I actually it's going off right now. So I when I had neurosurgery to treat my seizures, I had a device placed that's called a vagus nerve stimulator. And like basically it's like a pacemaker for your brain. Which is great because it stopped my seizures. I'm breathing heavy because it's what happens when it's activated is there are wires that run past my vocal cords up to my vagus nerve to my brain, and it shocks my brain, gives it a little like stop having seizures, and it goes off every 3 minutes for 30 seconds. And so every time it goes off, it makes it really, really hard to breathe. And actually, my neurosurgeon told me at the time, you will not be able to run after you have this surgery because breathing is advisable when you're out there running any distance. But what I figured out, I finally figured out, like after a lot of trial and error, I figured out how to do intervals. So I do intervals literally around this device, and they're not fast. I probably only run a third of the time. But all this to say, whenever we do a big group costume, all of these people, like Jez just ran a 2 hour and 22 minute half marathon, they all drop back and they run what we call lintervals because they all run the pace that I have to run that I can't change up. I have no wiggle room. It's just all based on my nerves getting electrocuted. And that is one of those things like you don't know it, but it's such a testament to the Run Disney community that all of those 10, 15 people are saying, we're willing to give up our rightful placement and run at a pace we're not used to so that everyone can feel included. And I'm so grateful for you guys. Thank
Well,
you
then
guys.
I want to stop for a minute. You obviously are like, I've told you this before, like the most positive, the most joyful human, but like the words that you just said, what you have gone through and what you still go through and what you deal with and what you've overcome, like you are absolutely amazing. And I know there are people who are listening that are going to be so inspired by like what they can do when they not only did you have epilepsy and started running, but you've gone through this, you've gotten to a better place, and it doesn't didn't you know you, it's still a challenge, and you still fight those challenges and you face them head on with such joy. So please know what an amazing inspiration you are.
Oh.
How like you make me, I just want to hug you every time I see you because you're such a loving, wonderful person. And to know what you've gone through and you keep that joy, it's beautiful. So I just want to say I'm so
That
happy.
that is all a reflection of how well I've been loved. Like, I get to live with joy because other people have poured that into me, including these two people here at the bottom of my screen who don't take warm fuzzies very well. And they may start laughing.
We don't talk about feelings. Yeah. Is it one of those families? Because that okay. We don't talk about our feelings.
We're getting to our closing questions, but then that opens up for me to ask a question that, Jar, are you not mic shy, but are you a more reserved person? And sometimes you have this creativity, and so we're expecting you to come out and be like, "Whoa, man, this is me!" And you are. Are you a more reserved human, or what is that?
What is that?
That's probably.
Sometimes we'll talk to you, and then somebody like, "Oh, he's shy, or he doesn't like them." You know, we shove mics in your face, and we expect greatness.
That's so. What comes out not great?
No, it is great. You know what? I don't know if he enjoyed that.
I think
so. Like. I mean, I am probably more reserved. I think, like, was it the last expo we were at? Lynn's also always has to remind me, like, smile jar, people are looking, like, just the tens of people that watch the videos.
And literal tens.
Yeah, I think my response was like, "Wake up, jar, wake up." So like normal me is not good enough for Run Disney.
saying that. It's interesting that we have to understand that performance is different than Now, you know, there is that line. So if we ever make you or anyone else uncomfortable by shoving microphones into your face and highlighting everything we know about you from very small appearances on social media, we apologize.
No, that's fine. We put targets on us by dressing like we do and heading over to the right side of the start line or the runway.
Well, and I think it's good to remember, too, as somebody who's been a performer my whole life, a lot of performers are introverted extroverts. So I think you kind of fall into that. And I Carissa knows that I kind of feel that I'm sort of on my own, a little more introverted than when I'm out in front of somebody. So we're glad that you get your creativity out there because we love to see it. Before we move on to our traditional questions, we do have to ask about costume fails.
Oh,
any legendary or even newer, as we've now determined legendary to gold, any stories about costume fails? Because, man, good ideas are often good on paper, but not out on the race course.
I had to get my sleeves cut off at the medical tent, mile 6 of Princess 2022.
Half marathon.
So it's Princess, so I'm gonna go sparkly, and I'm like, I'm gonna make it to the castle, and then like it's too hot, and then like I go to the medical tent, it's like, "Can you cut these sleeves, please?" And the volunteer is like, "You gotta be kidding me." It's like, "No, please cut them off." Yeah. That was probably my biggest fail.
And pleather pants.
In pleather pants, yeah.
He was wearing pleather pants that race too. Anyway, go ahead, Jez.
I dumped a wig in Epcot during the Tower of Terror 10-miler because it was just too hot. And then this last Wine and Dine, I had a full... We already had to change our costume because we were going to go as Elf. And it was going to be entirely too hot. Everybody had very thick things except for our friend Patrick, who committed as Santa in the full Santa suit for that whole half marathon. But I went to I made it to the bathrooms in Epcot, and I had a dress with sleeves is very cute, and had a candy cane hat that I had to leave at home because Lynn said it's too hot, you can't wear that.
Yeah.
And I took off like the top part of the dress because I had a shirt on over, and like tied it around my waist, and then just like used the shirt over as my shirt, and then the other part was like as a skirt, and I looked ridiculous, but it was so hot, like I had to improvise mid-race. My photos look real special. But that whole costume concept had to change like that night. The night before, we were at dinner and we were like, this isn't going to work. We're all going to be at a med tent receiving some sort of IV therapy if we continue with this. So those are probably my two.
I had one answer, but I thought of another costume fail back from when we used to do Disney bounding. This is during the Run Disney off season during the COVID. I had one costume that gave me like actual lacerations. It was so tight, but I think the true biggest fail that our friend Justin said we went from hero to zero was we did back when we couldn't run races and we needed a way to express our costuming. We did like very elaborate bounds when we went to Disney World for what we called the Not Run Disney weekend. So this was not Wine and Dine weekend. And we decided to do a 90s day. And so we wore all of these ridiculous 90s Bounds costumes, and we were in the park and realized, oh, people just think we dress like this. Like, people think we're visiting from like Central Europe and this is just how we dress. And like the looks that people were giving us was like, oh man, this is hero to zero. So yeah, that was our truest costume fail. A little off the run Disney, but
I can sympathize with that. So we went on my Virgin cruise for my birthday, mm-hmm. and my two girlfriends and Weston had packed all these costumes and they had all these ideas and I didn't know where we were going. And so there was like an 80s workout day that we had bought 80s out. They had bought 80s outfits for, but it was always at like 9 a.m. and I wanted no part of this outdoor at 9 a.m. So we got to the last night of the cruise and we hadn't worn the 80s outfits. And I said, well, I felt bad. They bought them. And I was like, why don't we just wear them to dinner? So we looked amazing. And like walk around the ship, people would be like, Is there an 80s party to do? No. You're like, no, this is it. The same kind of vibe. Like, it's not bad. I just don't understand.
Exactly. It's like it didn't spark joy. It sparked confusion. Yes. And that was not our aim. Our aim was to spark joy.
And so, that was a great story. And
no publicity is bad publicity. People were talking about you. So
Oh, yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Family vacation memories for other people. So,
all right. Well, listen, I know we're going to have you guys back at some point and we're going to talk more about all of these creativity and everything. But we're going to get to the questions that we ask everybody at the end. So we're going to split these up. And so, Linz, I'm going to start with you because you've talked a little bit about the challenges that you've dealt with as a runner. When you get yourself to a difficult place, be it in a workout or putting a costume together, whatever that is in your life, what motivates? How do you self-motivate in those moments?
Well, I can say for running, I definitely am so blessed to have the people around me, my faith life. I'm a chaplain in my normal life in the hospital. We all work in the same hospital, which is, I don't know what we think of that, but it's a family affair here in the Storybook Capital of America. I think the two things that motivate me the most is one, I used to be a chaplain in pediatric hospice, and I learned so much from those kiddos. And every time I start a race, I'm just so aware that there are people who aren't there who wish they could be there. And I think about those kids who I knew and I'm still so touched by, as you can tell, that I know that they wish they could be there. And it would be a shame if I squandered the opportunity I have with negativity and by being defeatist about it. And then also, my device is going off. Sorry, I sound like Darth Vader. When I was first told that I would have to have the surgery and I wouldn't be able to run anymore, I may laugh about it now, but it was very sincere at the time. I remember sitting in my office and like literally head in my hand crying, thinking about how I had actually just run a race. I'd done a 15K 2 weeks before that, and thinking, I was crying because I thought, I crossed my last finish line and I didn't know it. Like, I had no idea, but that was my very last finish line. And so in the moments that I am the most happy on my face, grumpy in my heart, in the moments where I'm at mile 20 and I'm thinking, this is not fun anymore, I remember the kids, and I remember that there was once a time in my life where I was so sad that I wouldn't get to do this, that I cried by myself in my office. And so I say to myself, self, get some perspective, have fun. The only thing you can control, the only thing you can control on race day is your attitude. You may not finish, you may not make it to what I call the suggested finish line. You may not be the fastest and the strongest, but you have 100% control over how I live 7 hours of my life on a marathon course. And it would be such a travesty if I didn't live it with joy. That would be harder for me, frankly. So yeah.
Love what you just said, the suggested finish line. Like, if you don't know, but like, if you don't get to the suggested finish line, that doesn't mean that your journey was worthless. And sometimes, as you know, we've gotten flack for comments that suggested that people may not get to the finish line. But I think it's important to recognize that any movement towards a goal,
it doesn't make you less of an athlete. Like my first two marathons, I was swept. I was swept in 2020 from mile 20. I was swept in 2022 from mile 22. When 23 rolled around, I'm like, oh dear Lord, am I going to make it past 23? I ended up, that was the first year that I finished. But like, when people would say to me, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, don't apologize. I don't see it as a failure. I ran 20 miles. I ran 22 miles. That's like 22 more than they ever thought I would be able to do. And yeah. And that's, it's incredible. So especially if anyone's listening to this before or after the marathon, and they're worried about what finish line they're going to make it to. It's like, the second you cross the start line, you're doing something that most people never, ever wake up and do. And that's, and then you just get to live it with joy wherever the finish line is.
Yeah, don't be so focused on the destination that you don't enjoy the journey. And I think that's, you know, and I know when I ran my first 5K, we've talked about this. I'm just looking down at my feet. Just, it's just, please get there. Please get there. Please get there. And I did not enjoy that any very much. I was happy I did it and I got to the finish line. But my 10K, thanks to Stephanie Humphrey and the people who helped me get through, I actually took it in a little more, and it was a much more enjoyable run, even though it was twice as far. And 6 miles seems like a lot to run for.
It is a lot.
Well, John, yeah. John's excited to announce soon what race he'll be doing next year.
Ooh. John's not excited about any of that, frankly.
You can run with us, John. If you want to run just as fast as you need to not get swept, you can run with us.
John will start at Corral A, and he'll still run with you guys. He'll just start at
A. Exactly. Yes, you can.
That's what we love.
And that makes the other announcers do more work at the finish line. So I'm in favor of it, to be frank.
Not a bad. See that, John? There's that silver lining. All right, Jez, for you, what is the most inspiring moment that you've seen or heard a story at or been a part of at a Run Disney race or any race?
I mean, I think, well, Lynn's just is probably one of the most inspiring stories that I encounter Run Disney in racing. I remember my first Dopey, which was also my first marathon, which is also not advised in the running world. But I remember going around the Blizzard Beach parking lot, and it was the Blizzard Beach parking lot. And I was passing this one woman who was asking where the balloon ladies are. And we were telling her, like, this is where they are, because we have wonderful friends that know how to do like runner math very quickly in their, and they like text us where we need to be at every time. It's fantastic. So thank you, Heather D. And we told her where they were, and she just started like, she's running, and she started like, tearing up and like, I'm gonna make it. Like, she had the realization that she was gonna make it, and I was like, yeah, you're gonna make it. Like, it's gonna be okay. But I don't know how, countless times of people helping others that have fallen or giving people encouragement when they look like they're down. I just kind of overall, it's very inspiring, because you can make it very much about like me and finishing this and doing this thing that I wanted to put on my goals list, but at the end of the day, if you're like, you really look around and see the people that you're with, you're all struggling together. We call it trauma bonding. That's why our Run Disney friends are really close friends, because we've trauma bonded together. But just seeing in those moments, those little, and sometimes they're just tiny glimmers of like, somebody's like smiling at somebody or helping somebody or being kind to somebody else. Or those for me are super inspiring and probably why I still run. I don't know.
Yeah, we always say, you know, Riley gets a lot of great stories, but they're just, you know, everybody out there has a story of how they got there and what they had to overcome to get there. And mm-hmm. I think we need to focus on that. All right, Jar, we are going to ask you to let everybody know where they can follow you guys in case they don't know, the few people listening to us who don't follow Ox and Spoon. But I do want to ask you, anything inspirational out there on the course for you since you've been running, a story that you remember? And, you know, anything that you'd like to chime in on that? Because, again, that's really why we do the podcast. We love talking to the professionals and everything, but it's really hearing about what the average everyday people who are out there running are going through. So what's the most inspirational thing that you've seen or heard?
I think just in general, the relationships that have been formed from this, like just not just finding my wife through this, but having like our first meeting on camera. I have legendary Bill Stewart, his first meeting, we were rolling and he just walks in the frame too. And then Meredith also, I think the actual moment is not on camera, but like the time we were in the park was recorded, where she just found us, like she made eye contact with us and we're like, I know you guys from the internet. But coming back to these events and just seeing the same people, and I see some of these Run Disney people more than I see some people that live in the same city as me that I call friends. So coming back to something like this that is good for, you know, for our health, doing something that's active and healthy, and also having a community like this to come back to, that I think that's something that we'll all cherish.
Yeah, good answer. Okay, Jar, now I'll let you do the important stuff for the continuing growth of the Ox and Spoon fan base. Where can people find you on the interwebs, on the net machine, and explain this all to like somebody like me who still has a Betamax with it flashing 12, 12, 12, 12.
Ooh. Oh, the net machine. I like that one. So on YouTube, just search Ox and Spoon, OXANDSPOON. That's one word. Or on the Instagram, the same the name over there. So you can see there's 2000, what is it now? Like 7 years, 8 years?
Almost eight.
Seven years worth of videos on there. I don't know how many videos I have on there. So a lot of race recaps. So we're coming into the season where there's going to be a lot of dopey weekend recaps and many more things as well.
Well, we are excited to see it. We're excited to see what you guys have in store for marathon weekend. Please say hi. And I just want to highlight again, Defying Gravity will be one of my favorite Run Disney moments ever. And that's a shout out to Sarah for playing the right part at the right time. But thank you guys. You are always something that we look forward to. We didn't always stand down there at the finish line, but we do because we want to see you guys. We want all those sweaty hugs. So keep those. You too, Jar. We'll get it out.
Jar is like, yeah. Keep that to yourself.
But seriously, thank you guys so much. And we will see you real soon.
Thank you.
We
appreciate you.
All right, athletes. Here's the drill. Time to shape up your diet. Carissa, give them the goods.
All right, John, it's the new year. And I think, have we as a society jumped the shark where like we've let go of resolutions? Like we make goals, but like the resolute box of a resolution, does it still exist?
I don't know. And I think sometimes, and I will say this for me, who I've failed on so many resolutions, and as listeners of the podcast know, the main one being, and I've made it again this year, that I will finish James Joyce's Ulysses. But I think the problem with the New Year's resolution, as I see it as somebody who is lazy and not motivated, is that it gives you an excuse not to do things at other times during the year. Oh, you know what? New Year's, I'm gonna make that change. So here's the thing that I say to everybody, because I got back to training again. If you're going to train, whatever, just if you decided something you want to do in New Year's, just start now. Just start whenever your now is. And as we're recording this, it's the 2nd of January. So some of you probably already failed at your resolutions like me. So I think people seem to be mocked for it now sometimes, Carissa. It's like, there it is, the New Year's resolution you won't follow through on.
So let's let go of that, right? Let's do like exactly like you were saying. Like anytime you feel motivated for a change, make a goal. Make small, measurable goals in it. And then for me every year, and you probably with marathon weekend, I'm like, I'm not even going to think about until I get through marathon weekend. Because for us, it's a very demanding weekend that on the front end and the back end, we're focused on recovery. We're focused on sleep. We've got to get, you know, we're not home for almost a whole week. So it, for me, you know, that's it. But weight loss is always, if we're going to say resolution, the number one thing. And this year, you know, I am a dietitian in real life. The chatter.
I did not know that.
I know you didn't. You didn't. I thought I said it before. The chatter in the dietitian community is that people this year are not focusing on weight loss. They're not seeking out dietitians. They're going directly to the weight loss drugs, the Wegovy, the all of those kinds of things. So I want to kind of set up a little bit of my point of view on that. And if that is you and that's something you're going towards this year, I'm not shaming anybody that's doing that. Yep. Weight loss is a complicated emotional, physical connection, and it's very challenging. What I do want to set out in this podcast is a couple of watch outs, as well as make sure you're still doing XYZ if that is the path you choose to take. And we're talking about Wegovy. We're talking about the things that are the semi-glutides that are basically going to squash your feelings of hunger. You're going to eat less. It's going to promote weight loss, and it's going to do it rather quickly in a noticeable way. If that is what you're doing, I want to let you know that I am not shaming you. It is not necessarily an easy way out. You've weighed the pros and cons, and you're on your path, and I am cheering for anyone that is working towards better health. What I just want you to be aware of is there are certain side effects of these, and we don't know the long-term side effects because nobody has been on them for a significant length of time. The risk is that when you stop taking them, first of all, that you're going to gain the weight back, because you're going to weight regain is very common with these drugs. So what I want to say, first of all, is if you choose to start one, also along with that, choose to educate yourself on proper nutrition so that when you are eating, you're not getting vitamin deficiencies because, oh, I'm losing weight. I'm only going to eat one meal a day and it's going to be this. It doesn't give you a well-balanced, well-rounded diet. You still need to make sure you're getting in the right amount of carbohydrates, fiber, vitamins, calcium, protein, things like that, especially if you're acting as an athlete as well. If you're prepping for dopey, you've got to make sure your body can stay well. We've talked about the immune stress of running. So if you're on a weight loss drug, you find yourself eating less, please educate yourself on what your essential nutrient needs are so that you're meeting those, so that your long-term health, while that's improved with weight loss, if you have nutrient deficiencies, if you're protein deficient, you're not going to be able to sustain the type of activities that you want to. A couple other things to keep in mind if you're on anything like a Wegovy is there are some GI side effects, the gamut, diarrhea, vomiting, all of that can be a side effect. Pancreatitis as well with the prolonged use is a risk. Gallbladder disease, gallstones increase with rapid weight loss. So again, I'm just bringing this to everybody's attention again, not to not do it. Thyroid tumors as well are an increased risk. Kidney function issues, hypoglycemia, because it's addressing, a lot of people use it with diabetes, but the rebound, the hypoglycemia. So again, I want you to educate yourself on blood sugar. How does my blood sugar evolve during the day? If I am hypoglycemic, what do I do? There's unknown long-term effects, but the last one is emotional impacts. So should you stop taking it, gain back weight, I need you to remember and learn right now that you are not defined by your weight, whether it's higher or lower. Your worth is not defined by your weight. So just please know that you at your whatever weight it is are an amazing, wonderful person. So if you take the drug, the weight comes back, whatever it is, whatever weight you are, doesn't affect who you are as a person. So I think there's a lot of emotion that goes with weight and weight loss. These drugs are interesting. They're exciting. I love hearing people be excited about weight loss and want to change their diet for the better. And I think that's a good thing.
I saw a doctor actually speaking about this on television somewhere within the last few days, and was just saying, wasn't going pro or con on any of it, just talking about please treat it as a supplement and not a magic bullet to your weight loss. That it's, you know, it's not just, oh, I can do this and I'm going to be then where I want to be. To your point, there are a lot of things involved. And please, folks, as always, and as I get older, listen to your body. If you are having feeling some sort of side effect or something, listen to your body and get proper medical advice. That's, you know, from the 60-year-old guy who now his body's telling him much different stories than it did when you and I started doing this.
Yeah. So if this is something that's part of your New Year's journey and you do want guidance with it, that's why I recommend Healthier You, the 12-week online course that is nutrition education-based. You're getting meal plans. You're getting the understanding of how to find out how many calories you need. As your weight changes, your calorie needs will change. So we can help you do that. We're having a masterclass with Jeff Galloway on January 6th. So if you sign up by January 5th, you will get to join Jeff Galloway's class. And then we'll also have another monthly chat in January. I do monthly chats with the Healthier You course that you get a year of access to. So specific questions like this, I can help answer. So go online to GallowayCourse.com and use the code Jeff right now to save $170.
Athletes, listen up. It's mail call time. Announcer free, present.
All right. Thank you, Sarge. For our mailbag, we're just going to simply shout out to somebody because we got an email from Ed, who will be doing his 100th. Let that sit for a minute, Crystal. You get into triple digits of Run Disney races, and you are, that is very, very impressive. Doing his 100th Run Disney race for the half marathon will be his 100th. And he'll be wearing a special shirt and would love everyone to give him a shout out. So, Ed, we're going to be looking for you. We're going to shout out to you. Congratulations on being on the precipice of that, because that is really, really something that's impressive to anyone, be you a rookie runner or a veteran. You get to 100 races in alone, let alone 100 Run Disney races. That's pretty darn impressive. So thanks for listening, Ed, and thanks for the email. Also, Ed, perfect dopey, perfect wine and dime. Man, Ed, it's just Ed's just adding up the medals there. The bling for Ed is pretty impressive. If you have a question or you just want to make a comment to us, you can send that to us at 321GoPodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Before we wrap up, we want to give a special shout out to our friend Sarah Akers with Runs on Magic. Now, Sarah is a passionate Run Disney enthusiast. She loves nothing more than helping you plan those magical Run Disney weekends. But with her expertise, the possibilities are endless. Whether you're dreaming of a honeymoon escape, an all-inclusive girls trip, a boys trip to Las Vegas, a family cruise, international adventure, whatever it is, Sarah is here to make it happen. Best part? Her travel planning services are completely complimentary. Sarah creates personalized itineraries and specializes in Run Disney, Universal, and cruise vacations. And for our listeners, she's offering a special promo. Use the code 321GO when requesting your vacation quote, and you could receive up to a $200 Disney gift card or booking credit, depending on your destination. You can connect with Sarah on Instagram at RunsOnMagic for the latest offers and more, or reach out to her directly at runsonmagictravel@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Sarah, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you soon.
Yep, thank you to Ox and Spoon for sharing their time with us. Always a great time to chat with them. Thank you to our editor, Weston. Guys, stay warm, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
Happy New Year, and bye-bye.